Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I am Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. Keith, how we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. We got a couple important months coming up here. It's August 5th now. We're creeping up on the quiet period, which starts August 19th and ends September 12th. And then we got the typical one-month mad dash from September to mid-October. When coaches are Division I coaches are back allowed on the road, able to evaluate players off of campus. And want to take a few minutes to talk about what players need to be doing, what they need to be thinking about, whether you're 25 or 26. I think there's some key topics to discuss here. And for me, the first thing that jumps off is that I think a lot of times, for the most part, the summer tournament schedule is kind of done. There's a few tournaments coming up here in the next couple of weeks that are getting played. But for the most part, the summer ended for a lot of teams last week or will be ending this week. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that players make is that they think of August as a month to just chill. And if you're really trying to get this done, right? And this precludes the two sport athlete a little bit, right? Because you got guys who are getting ready for football and ready for soccer. But like, if you're a baseball dude and you think that taking a month off in August, you know, and if you're talking August 1st to September 12th, you're talking about 6 weeks. There's a lot that can be done over the course of those 6 weeks to get you closer to being recruitable. Or get you recruited. And I think a lot of guys take the month off and they want to let their bodies rest. And like, I understand it a little bit, but 6 weeks in the weight room, 6 weeks with a hitting coach, 6 weeks with a pitching coach, especially if you're planning on playing in the fall. I think a lot of players get this portion of the summer wrong. And if you're really serious about getting recruited, the margins are thin enough as it is. And to just go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to take 6 weeks off and I'll turn it back up. I'll just turn it back on in September. I think that's a really poor decision for a lot of kids to make. And if you're a 2025, if you don't have a plan for what you're doing for the next 6 weeks, whether it's camps, whether it's the weight room, whether it's preparation for the fall, then you're just kind of in limbo. You got to do something. If you're a 2026, who's a borderline recruitable Division I player, if you don't use these 6 weeks to your advantage leading into the fall, whether it's full-blown in the gym with your throwing coach, with your hitting coach, or you have some camps or showcases that you've selected, like sitting back for the next 6 weeks and kind of letting it come to you, I think it's a mistake. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Coach Glass.
Yeah, I think you need to be doing something. You know, and obviously, like, this is, again, more aimed at the kids that are, you know, not playing, and maybe even the kids that are playing football and soccer and volleyball and the like. You know, but it's a little bit more, you know, having a plan and in place for what it is that you can do. You know, I think the weight room should be something that everyone is in and doing, you know, pretty much year round. You know, obviously you should have some breaks in there, but I think to kind of let your body recover and not do anything for a period of time, like, you're going to lose it a lot quicker than you think you will. You know, and if you're going to camps and playing football or playing volleyball and going to camps and you're not doing anything, like, you're not even picking up a baseball to throw it, or you're not hitting, like, you're going to lose it a lot quicker, and you're going to show up to these camps and not be in the best shape that you need to be in to be able to showcase your abilities for what it is you want to do. You know, so I think, you know, you're dead on. Like, you need to have some sort of a plan of attack for what it is that you're looking to do over the course of the next 6, 7, 8 weeks. Because during the quiet period, we all know this, like, they can do on-campus camps. There's a lot of camps coming up over the course of the next couple weeks. you know, so like, you know, there's a lot of Division Ones, and then when they go back to quiet, when they go into another quiet period, there's going to likely be some more camps that are going to be on the docket later into the fall. So being able to kind of play it to the point where like you can, like, yes, you probably need to take a little bit off, you know, maybe take a week off from throwing and then get back into it. You know, but you can't take 6 weeks off from throwing and then think that you can show up at an on-campus camp and be able to be really good. There has to be some sort of plan in place for you to be able to continue to develop, whether it's going to be in the weight room or on the field, so that when you do go to these camps or you are playing fall baseball, you're in the best shape to put your best foot forward while being seen by all of these college coaches.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a 2026, like, you got to play the long game with this. Like, the amount of gains you can get physically in a 6 week period, like, you would just be crazy to not be at least bare minimum getting after in the weight room. Six weeks is a lot. Like, that's half of a full off season. And if you can get that ball rolling going into the fall, one, you're probably going to show better in the fall. Right. Like, there's plenty of kids who are going into this off season right now, like this August period, who are 84, 85. And you're like that fringy dude that people are kind of like, yeah, he's pretty good, but I'm not going to jump at him because there's other guys who are 88 to 91.
Right.
I've seen plenty of those kids 6 weeks from now go and throw at the end of September and they're 86 to 88. And now all of a sudden people are going, shoot, like, bare minimum, I got to really pay attention to what this kid does in the off season, because I've seen a kid make a jump, and coaches understand that most of those jumps don't happen because a kid just showed up. Mm-hmm. They understand that, like, that kid probably worked pretty hard, and like, and they can kind of reverse engineer that the kid I saw at the end of July was 84, 85. And now the kid I'm seeing at the end of September is 86 to 88. I can kind of do the math that kid probably got after it a little bit. And easily. That matters. Like, that's a big piece of it. And
well, and I think, you know, we all did it when we coached, and we still do it now. Like, you know, he was 2-4 at the start of the summer. And, you know, by September, October, all of a sudden that kid's 6-8, 7-9. It's like, okay, like, this kid got after it over the course of the summer and a little bit of the downtime that they had, to where he made that jump. And now there's a lot more opportunities there when you're 7-9 versus 2-4. You know, and I think that's something that is like, look, it's not all velo. We know that. But at the same time, like, there's more doors that are going to open when you're 87, 89 than there are when you're 82, 84. Now, those doors might be open because there is projectability there and they know that you work and you're working hard, just hasn't come yet. Like, this is one of those weird sports where, you know, guys develop at such different rates in baseball. You know, there's guys that, you know, make huge jumps between their sophomore and junior year of high school. And then, you know, you saw it in college, like, the amount of guys that make that jump between freshman and sophomore year, where all of a sudden, like, it's a completely different player. But it doesn't happen on accident. It happens because guys put in the time and effort to be in the weight room, to be at practice, to be present, to take reps seriously and do the things it is that they need to do in order to put themselves in the best position to get burn and play. You know, and I think the other thing is being able to legitimately play. You know, like, it's a little bit harder, I think, in the fall, because there are so many on-campus college camps and things that you want to see. And, like, you're going to start seeing the tweets fly that they're all money grabs and nobody cares. And, like, that's, you know, in some instances, sure, they might be, but, you know, a lot of coaches are going to rely on getting kids to campus to be able to evaluate them on their field and interact with them, because you can't talk to kids unless they're on an on-campus camp until August 1st, their junior year going into high school. So if it's a younger kid, and, you know, maybe you haven't been able to have a conversation with a 2026 yet, and a 2026 shows up to campus and is really good, and you have an interaction with him where you're like, hey, this kid's squared away, and he, like, this kid works his tail off. Like, this is a kid we need to be on. Like, that, you want to be able to be that kid. And, you know, there's so few opportunities to be able to talk to kids leading up to, especially August 1st, obviously, because there's zero. But, you know, you want to be able to put yourself in a position where athletically you are doing what it is you need to do to check those boxes, but also be able to interact with the coaches and be like, hey, man, this is what I do. This is my off-season routine. Like, and be able to talk to them and show that you're a mature high school kid who is taking this seriously and do those things. Cause I think that's just as important and something that gets lost in a lot of the on-campus camp stuff. Like, you know, yeah, some of them can be money grabs. Like so can showcases and other camps and clinics that are private, like same kind of thing. But you know, if you can go interact with the coaching staff of a school that you're interested in, like you want to make sure that you look the part and you act the part and you walk the walk and you talk the talk, because that's going to get you recruited a lot more when you go to those camps than if you're the other way and you can't necessarily handle the athletic or the personal side of being able to, you know, hold eye contact and have a conversation and talk about stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's 6 super valuable weeks, and that's before you even get into the fall. And Jonathan mentioned this last week, and I want to get into a couple different scenarios that we can talk through here in a minute, but the idea that you have to do one or the other, like you can still do baseball stuff and still lift. Right. And I think that that's still something that I'm not sure if the kind of the myth around that has been completely
busted.
Can we get
the Mythbusters on here to do this?
Would love to. But I mean, we had Coach Celeno, Bill Celeno, on a while back. He's associate head coach of Wake Forest. He's as good as it gets in college baseball. And I mean, just in baseball in general. And one of the things during that conversation that really stuck out, their guys lift 48 out of 52 weeks a year, right? And that's not a Wake Forest thing. That's kind of college baseball in a nutshell, if you really want to be good. And basically what that tells me is that you don't have to choose weight room or baseball stuff. You can do both. And for those guys who think, well, I need to just get in the weight room. Like, yeah, of course. But that doesn't mean that you have to get rid of the baseball stuff. Doesn't mean that you have to stop playing. Doesn't mean that you have to stop going to camps. It doesn't mean that you have to not play games this fall. I think that there are cases where guys may need to, like, hey, you need to just get in the weight room. Like, you don't need to be traveling around for the next month to try to play this fall. But specifically for the month of August, like these next 6 weeks or so, you can get your baseball reps. You can get your throwing in. You can get your swings in. You can get your defensive work in and not sacrifice in the weight room. And, you know, from a pitching perspective, if you plan on throwing this fall, probably don't want to be putting a ball down. Doesn't mean that you go throw full bore and, you know, you're throwing 75 pitch bullpens and doing all that, but you don't have enough time to stop throwing and then start throwing because you're not going to be ready to go. So this idea that, like, oh, I'll just put a ball down for a couple of weeks, my arm will feel good. There's all kinds of science, all kinds of data that point to that's not a good thing, and that you need to stay mobile. You need to stay throwing. You need to back off the volume probably. But taking these next 6 weeks to just kind of hang and, you know, get ready for high school. And it's not really an option if this is something that you're serious about, period. Like it really isn't an option because there's too much competition where guys who are just as good as you are going to take advantage of these 6 weeks and you're going to get passed. And that's kind of the reality of it.
I think it's a common theme that you'll continue to hear on this podcast for the foreseeable future, and we'll probably beat a dead horse for a while. But you know, with the roster limit reduction, like you need to realize that you're in an uber competitive environment in the recruiting process because there's so few spots now available at the Division I level. You know, but that also means that again, that there's going to be a trickle down effect. Like, to be in that top 7% that are going to go play Division I, II, or III baseball, like you got to be pretty good. And the guys who are going to make it there are the guys that are going to do more than just the bare minimum. And the guys that do the bare minimum are now going to be the guys that, you know, they used to kind of get fringy off roster spots later on. Like, they're not going to get them anymore because there's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be putting in the time, the energy, and the effort to be really good in the high school recruiting process that are going to get recruited and be able to find roster spots. And the guys that aren't are just going to be left behind. And that's, look, like, that's kind of what it's supposed to be, right? But at the same time, like, you need to understand that now, not, you know, not next year when it's August and you haven't talked to anybody. Like, you need to understand that now so you can put yourself in a position to be able to talk to, you know, as many people as you possibly can going into your senior year of high school and be able to get on campus and get some roster, you know, get some offers and visit some schools and do those types of things.
100%. And there's a couple different scenarios here. Like, you're 2025 and you're uncommitted at this point, which there's a lot of them. Because the Division II and Division III cycle is really starting to heat up. The roster crunch of Division I has changed some things. There's going to be a trickle-down effect. There's going to be some kids getting dumped at the Division I level. But if you're uncommitted right now and you're not taking advantage of these 6 weeks, if you don't have some targeted camps to go to, if you don't have a plan for what you're going to do into this fall, like, you need to get one together pronto, tonto, or – and you need to play this fall. Like, you need to be out because, I mean, we've talked to coaches up and down the college baseball landscape, from national championship Division I caliber teams all the way down to national championship caliber Division III teams. And one of the big takeaways I had talking to some of the Division III coaches is, hey, we're slowing down because we see what's happening here. And there's a lot of 2025s that come September and October where all of a sudden they're going to be really interested in playing Division III baseball because they're not getting the Division I looks that they like. And that's pretty typical from a recruiting cycle perspective, but I think it's amplified this year due to the fact that there's a lot of Division I schools that are going to have to make some decisions on those walk-on type 25s. And those guys are all of a sudden going to become, you know, quote-unquote free agents. You don't have time to do 10 days off if you want to get recruited. You need to perform and you need to be in the right places and you need to make sure you're getting in front of schools that are a good fit for you, which, you know, we've talked about this before. It always comes down to, like, you need to have some people in your corner who are going to help you do this and talk you through it. But like, if you're 25 who's uncommitted, like, you need to take advantage of these 6 weeks. You need to strap it up and you need to have a good month in September and October.
Yeah, without a doubt, because you're going to see some stuff over the course of the next 6 weeks in the college baseball landscape that you haven't seen ever, because there's going to be people that are going to be released from, you know, their commitments and things, because NIL is, when's that sign date? It's November, isn't it? Like November 5th or 6th usually.
Yeah.
It's usually early November, right around election day. You know, but like they're going to start making decisions, and like, you want to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best position if you do end up being a guy who's not going to be on a roster in the fall of 2025 at the school you've quote unquote committed to right now. Like, you want to be able to have some options and things that you need to, you can explore and go about things that way. You know, and I if you're not to terrify anybody, but if you are a 2025 who is committed, like, I would be very hesitant to not do anything and just rest on my laurels and think that everything is hunky-dory and we're going to be okay, because they're going to 34 next year, and it's a hard roster limit stop point at 34. Like, you know, we've talked about this before and a couple other ones, like the way the rule reads right now, and there's some gray area, but like, it does seem as though like you need 34 when you get into the fall, not like you can have 40 and you have to have, like, the old rule, like you could have as many as you want until the game day week one. That's when you had to be at 40 or 35. Like, now it seems to read that it's 34 in the fall and then the spring, you know, it'll kind of be interesting, obviously, to see how that plays out, you know, because I we all know this. And, you know, if you get a rash of injuries, like, that season's going to be tough. Because you don't have anyone really there to, like, you're gonna be relying on some other guys. But the reason that, you know, we're harping on this, and I think that it's, you know, for kind of some of those reasons, is like, inevitably during the baseball season, there are going to be injuries. So, you know, you're likely, you know, the likelihood of you getting your third shortstop was probably pretty slim, because you could move some people around in the infield and, you know, hey, I have a, you know, our second string shortstop can play. And worst case scenario, our third baseman also played short, so we could slide him there, and our second base, our backup third baseman is serviceable, so we can put him out there. Like, literally everybody needs to be able to play on that roster, because if somebody goes down, like, you don't have the luxury of having 40 guys to be able to substitute and put those guys in. And same thing from an arm standpoint. You know, if someone goes down, like, you don't have the luxury of having that, you know, 20th arm that, you know, in case suddenly, like, the world ends, you have enough arms to be able to get you through. Like, you need to have arms that can legitimately go out and compete week in and week out on weekends and midweek to be able to throw for you, because people are going to get hurt. It's just the nature of the game. And not, you know, some may be season ending, some may just be 2, 3, 4 weeks, but you're going to have to weather that storm with guys that can actually go out there and compete and not be straight, like, you know, the old, hey man, we're like, we can take this guy for a year and develop him and see what happens. And, like, he's probably going to be able to pitch a decent amount for us sophomore year and then be a guy, you know, probably junior, maybe senior year. Like, that guy is not going to be on a roster anymore. It's going to be like, this dude need, like, you need to come in and compete and be able to help us win day one of the fall of August 27th when everyone reports. And I think that that's one of the bigger takeaways that, you know, everyone wants to go doom and gloom on a lot of this stuff, but, like, that's one of the bigger takeaways. Like, you need to understand, like, when you got to college, like, the timelines just accelerate on you. Like, when you got to college, that's when you needed to be able to be ready. Like, you need to put yourself in a spot to be able to compete, be ready, and help the team win and carve out a role and do those things. Like, you need to start doing that before you even get there, to say, like, hey, I'm in the weight room, I'm getting physical, I'm doing the things I need to do, I'm taking this seriously, I'm going to come in and be one of the top five infielders on this roster so that I can play, you know. Gone are going to be the day and age of, like, well, I'm a shortstop and I don't know how to play shortstop. Like, all right, man, well, we have two shortstops that are better than you, and if you don't want to, if you can't move or you're not versatile, like, we're just going to move on, because we can go find somebody who can play the other two spots as well as shortstop. You know, you're going to have to be able to play multiple positions in the infield, because that's just how it's going to be with the 34 man roster. You know, you're going to have to be able to play at least two outfield spots. You know, same kind of deal. Like, it's not just going to be like, well, I can only play center. Like, well, we have an All-American center fielder and two other guys that are pretty good. So if you can only play one spot in the outfield, like, I don't know if you're going to be able to get on this roster. You know, so you're going to have to be able to be versatile and do those things. So, you know, it's, you know, again, it's not necessarily something where I don't want people to listen to this and walk away and be like, oh my goodness, what are we walking into? Like, you just need to know that, like, this is the reality of what it is going to be moving forward. And you need to make sure that you're doing everything. If this is what you want to do, you need to make sure that you're doing what it is that you need to do in order to get yourself in that position. Because if it doesn't work out at the Division I level, like, Division II, make no mistake, Division II and III are going to be super competitive too. Like, you're going to have to be able to be competitive and good to play at those levels. Not that you don't have, like, you have to be already, but you're going to have to be better. And JUCO is going to, like, we're completely leaving out JUCO, which is going to probably see an uptick in guys, and they're going to be really good at baseball. And then they're going to be looking for spots to play after 2 years, you know, and there's NAIA baseball, which is, you know, it's going to see an uptick in guys because, you know, I don't necessarily think they have roster limits. So, you know, you're going to see an uptick in the competitiveness of college baseball across all divisions and levels and organizations and whatever other thing I can throw out there for it to be.
Yeah. And if you don't want to get after it during the 6 week window, like, it might not be for you, because there's a lot of kids who will. From a 26 standpoint, I think there's a couple different scenarios that are worth walking through here before we finish up. But, like, first one that's kind of the easier one is, like, you're 2026 who is getting some interest from Division I schools, kind of on that cusp, right? Like, very small percentage of guys, very, very small percentage of guys got a phone call on August 1st and got an offer. Like, way fewer than there were last year, just because of the roster constraints and coaches at the highest levels, like they're looking 2 or 3 years down the road from a recruiting perspective. And I mean, some of these bigger schools are, you know, they're already 6 or 8 guys deep in the 28 class. Well, they're going to pump the freaking brakes because of this new roster limit. So there's far fewer calls, far fewer guys getting offers. But if you're that fringy Division I guy, right, and it's always easiest to quantify the pitching thing, but like if you're that dude who's like 84 to 86 and like you're pretty projectable and you got some calls on August 1st, like you need to play this fall because you need to be fresh in people's minds going into the offseason. And you need to be able to show something and you need to go out there and compete. I think that's a fairly easy decision for that group. And I'd be remiss if I said that you, in kind of going back to what we were saying before, that like you don't have the luxury of not doing the off-field stuff too, right? Like it's not just I'm going to show up in the fall and I'm going to pitch. Like you need to use these 6 weeks to your advantage. You need to go out and you need to make sure you're staying on top of your P's and Q's from a throwing perspective. You need to go out and you need to compete and you need to prove yourself and you need to at least leave a good taste in people's mouths going into the offseason and give them a reason to care about what your development looks like from, you know, mid-October to, you know, to March. And then there's kind of another group of guys, and I think this is the harder group because this one can be kind of a little bit of a punch in the gut, but if you're not that Division I player and you're not currently a recruitable player, and most kids at this point in time, the reason they're not recruitable is physical. It's not skill, right? It's not that you can't field a ground ball or that, you know, you don't have good enough bat to ball skills. For most guys who are going to play in college at this point, whether they're going to end up being Division I guys a year from now, or they're Division II or Division III guys, most of it's physical. And for some guys, the right choice is you don't need to run around like a madman trying to get exposure this fall. You need to get your ass in the weight room. You need to pay attention to your nutrition and you need to get as physical and as strong and as fast as you can in the next 6 to 9 months because you need to be recruitable before you can get recruited. And most of the recruitability for guys is the physical portion of it. And I think that that is going to be even more important moving forward to your point. College baseball just got a lot more competitive. So the undersized kid who's like a pretty good player, who's pretty gritty, but isn't really strong enough yet, there's less places for that kid to go and develop now. Like being 5'11", 150 pounds, if you aren't freaking lightning quick or just have some unique ability to turn and get that barrel going and you've got odd pop for a kid that size, like you probably need to focus on putting on 15 pounds this offseason. And you need to talk to somebody and really think about, am I better served getting in the weight room full time starting now and passing up on playing this fall and making sure I come out the backside of this a recruitable player? Or am I going to play this fall? And if you're going to play this fall, you better have a really good plan Monday through Thursday of what you're doing from a physical perspective. Because if you're not a recruitable player now, and the only thing you're focused on is playing games, you're probably losing 2, almost 3 months of physical development if you're not getting after it in the weight room and you're not focusing on that physical portion.
Yeah, the physical portion of the next 6 to 8 weeks is massive for anybody who's looking to get recruited, especially if you're in the 26 or, I mean, let's face it, 27, 28, you know, I think that it's, you know, I'm just using it because the summer, as we said, is pretty much over, you know, and if you are going to play fall ball and you're a younger player, like, you know, we talked about some of this stuff early on in different podcasts, but, you know, especially 26s, 27s, like go get in the weight room, you know, and, you know, find somebody, you know, that knows what they're doing and have them help you through a weight training program over the course of the next couple of weeks, because you'll see massive changes in you know, not only your physical appearance, but what you're actually able to do on the baseball field too. And, you know, I think the more that you can do those types of things and the more you get used to doing it, because again, if this is something that you aspire to do, like, you better get used to really loving the weight room, because you're going to be in there quite a bit as a student athlete at the college level playing baseball. Like, everybody is in the weight room multiple times a week. It's just that's where it's gone, and that's where it's going to continue to go. You know, we were kind of on the front end of that. Like, I love being in the weight room when we were in college. You know, so it's one of those things that, like, you really need to kind of fall in love with that part of your training. You know, it's not just always going to be pitching and throwing and hitting and fielding. Like, the physical aspect of what you're going to have to do from a baseball standpoint is just as important, if not, you know, one of the more important things, because one, it takes care of your body. It's injury prevention. It's recovery. It's a lot of different things that are going to be able to help you not only get better on the field, but also be able to recover faster, sustain what it is that you're going to have to go through. Like, and I mean, let's face it, like, you're kind of doing a little bit of a quasi college season during the summer anyways. Like, you're traveling, you're playing, you're eating on the road. Like, you're doing things. It is that, you know, you're not sleeping in your own bed and having mom and dad cook for you every night, right? Like, that's not something that's happening. Or, you know, not going to the calf and throwing your ID under the door and asking if the, you know, if they're the cafeteria police, but story for a different day. That was not me. So, but anyways, I digress for a second there. You know, but the point is, like, you're kind of going through that right now as you know, in this, you know, summer where you're traveling, you're staying in hotels, you're eating out, you're doing those things. But, like, you know, the better you can be in, the better physical shape you can be in, the better you're going to be able to sustain a lot of those things, the travel, the sitting in a car, the sleeping in hotels, the playing weird hour games at 8 a.m. and 10:30 at night, and then having to get less sleep and wake up and do it again. You know, because those are things that are going to happen in college. Like, you're going to have some nights where, you know, you're going to have to stay up late studying because you have 3 tests the next day, and then still go to practice or go play a midweek game. Like, those are things that are going to happen, and you can sustain those better when you're in better physical and cardiovascular shape than you can if you're not in good shape. You know, so it's one of those things that if you're a 26 or 27, like, start getting used to, like, get in the weight room, and if you haven't, like, start getting in the weight room. There's no better time to start than the present to do those things, because I can promise you, you're going to see an increase in what it is that you can do on the field, and you're also going to, you know, there's other benefits to it, and we've talked about this, but you're going to have a lot more confidence in what you can do. You're going to be able to handle more. Like, there's a lot more that goes into this type of stuff. And it's just something that, you know, generally you should be doing anyways. But it's going to help you become a recruitable student athlete if you have the requisite, whew, that was tough, skills to play college baseball.
I mean,
that was a tough go there.
Just don't piss away these next couple months. Like, they're important months in the recruiting timeline, and specifically for 25s who are still out there. Like, these next 2 months are vital, and you need to be able to go out and show that you're good. And if you're not getting recruited right now, you've got 6 weeks to get better. If you're a 2026 who's on the cusp, like, you've got 6 weeks to break through. And you've got a month of opportunity to get in front of coaches and prove that either you're good enough right now or that you're somebody who's worth following. And if you're that 2026 who's not quite there yet, you have to take advantage of this window of time to get better, because you just don't have the luxury of taking 6 weeks off. Like, it's too competitive. And you just, if this is what you really want to do and you want to play college baseball, there's a bare minimum level of effort that is required to get there. And some kids will get there because they're talented, but eventually it'll catch up to them if they don't learn how to work. But the weight room and a commitment to getting better over the next 6 weeks, over the following month, September and October, like, you have to take advantage of that. It's really that simple. And I think that's really the big message, the big takeaway here is, yeah, there's a quiet period coming up and Division I coaches can't leave campus, but that doesn't mean that you stop getting better and you stop focusing on trying to figure out how good you can be at this game. And for most kids, it's going to come down to the weight room. And if you are getting recruited, like, you need to make sure you're in the right places. You know, you need to make sure you're going to the right camps. I mean, that you're thinking about the right things as you go through this process. So just don't piss away these next 6 weeks before the quiet period starts back up, or before the active period starts back up September 12th, and do everything you can to take advantage of the month that coaches are out. And then it's back to the weight room and getting better and making sure that you're doing things and closing the gap on your deficiencies and trying to amplify the things that you do well. So, I mean, I don't have a ton more to add to this. I think it's, I don't want to say it's cut and dry, but I think it's something that doesn't get talked about enough because August is like a slower month for a lot of people, but it might be slower in terms of the amount of games that you're playing, but I think you can make a legitimate argument for a lot of kids. This is a month that can kind of make or break how things go here over the course of the next 6 months. The kids who don't want to get after it are going to have to play some catch up. And the kids who do, they're going to have a head start going into the fall.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's straightforward instead of cut and dry. But, you know, look, I think, like, you know, a lot of people go on vacation at some point in August before school fires up because you had a pretty long summer doing stuff, which is fine. Like, I ain't telling you not going on vacation. But, like, you can still do stuff when you're on vacation. You know, if you're going to the beach, bring your glove and a ball and you know, have dad bring a glove. And you can toss on the beach for 20 minutes and catch a sick tan. You know, and do some of those things that just, you know, just keep you active. Go for a long walk on the beach. You know, it's nice. But do some of those things that are going to keep you active while you're, you know, if you do go away and you're fortunate enough to be able to do that. So, I just think it's one of those things that, you know, it's pretty straightforward on what you should be doing and what you, in order to put yourself in a position to be able to be recruited on the tail end of this. And I think we don't say this enough. I think that, you know, if you are listening to this and you're listening to us and doing these things, I think you should also, you know, thank your parents for driving you around all summer long and Tay or whoever it is that's taking you to these games and showcases and clinics and stuff. It's a big undertaking for a lot of people. So, you know, I'd be grateful for the people that are doing those things for you to kind of put you in position to be good.
I think that's probably a really good note to go out on here, Coach.
Thank you.
Thank mom and dad. This doesn't happen without them. So anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. Nailed it.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Tune in next week. We'll have some more hot topics for you. Got a couple interviews coming up with some distinguished folks to talk about college baseball. But until then, hope you enjoyed. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.